Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner. And on today's episode, we're going to cover the top returning quarterbacks for the Big Ten. Now, as in previous episodes, I have stated that the threshold for being a returning quarterback is to have recorded at a minimum 125 dropbacks in 2023. Any quarterback below this threshold is not going to be considered in these episodes or featured in any of the articles that correlate. Now, there are a massive 18 teams in the Big Ten, but only 10 are returning a quarterback that meets the threshold. Six of those are going to be transfer quarterbacks, and the others will be coming back to their original team. Now, I'm not going to cover every single one of these quarterbacks because, A, not all of them matter, unfortunately. So if you're, a fan of, Michigan State or Rutgers or something, they're not going to be featured in this episode. And sorry to tell you that. I'm going to focus on three quarterbacks that will basically shape the landscape and probably the outcome of the conference in general. So we're going to be using PFF passing grades and metrics to evaluate each quarterback. So how they perform from a clean pocket, how they perform under pressure, and then we're going to use passing depths, to get a better understanding of their profile. So, how they fare in short passes, which is 1 to 9 yards, medium passes, which is 10 to 19 yards, and then deep passes, which will be 20 yards or more. And then, as usual, I have a metric that I have invented that is called Mickey Mouse throw percentage, which is the combination of behind the line of scrimmage attempts and short attempts. The average for this is 55.8%. And and then one that my wife came up with the name for, which is big dog throw percentage, which is a combination of medium attempts and deep attempts. The average big dog attempts percentage is 37.6%. Now, this is more of an indication of the type of offenses that the coaching staffs are comfortable with their quarterback running. So if you have a quarterback that has a very high, Mickey Mouse percentage, then they're throwing a lot of dink and dunks, a lot of screens, a lot of RPOs, things of that nature. And, if you have a quarterback who's trusted more and is moving the ball down the field, then there's probably more confidence. Now, don't get me wrong. There are offenses that are built around, these short, quick game styles. But in general, if you have a quarterback who has the talent to push the ball down the field, you're going to take advantage of that, at least if your coaching staff is competent. Not looking at you, Tommy Reese. That's why you got replaced again as an offensive coordinator. So anyway, that's just some Notre Dame shade to throw in there. Let's dive into the transfer quarterbacks first, and then we'll go from there. So first and foremost is going to be Will Howard transferring from Kansas State to Ohio State. So Ohio State is going to lose Kyle McCord, which is not really a loss. This is going to be an upgrade with Will Howard at the helm. But let's dive in to see kind of where that's gonna pan out. So Will Howard has a kept clean PFF grade of 85th and a kept clean QB rating of 74th. His under pressure is 79th and under pressure QB rating 46th. So, at the base level, not super impressive. I mean, it's not eye-shattering metrics. We just brought in elite level talent. But let's take a little closer look at his depth profile. His deep attempts last year, he was 116th. Deep PFF grade was 91st, and his deep QB rating was 123rd. Now remember, this is out of 162 qualifying quarterbacks. So that way you kind of have a base level knowing what you're getting and where he's at. His medium attempts was 72nd, and his medium PFF grade was 78th, with a medium QB rating of 65th, and then his short attempts rate was 17th with a PFF grade of 94th and a short QB rating of 60th. Now, with all that being said, his profile on paper is worse than Kyle McCord's. As I touched in previous episodes, Kyle McCord, he looked really good on paper. And to like your standard like fan who goes to the bar or whatever and just looks at box scores, you know, you're like, oh, well, you know, look at all these yards, look at all this, you know, that's great and all. But in reality, he had the best receiving core in college football, bar none, no questions asked. And so we kind of have to think, was it him or was it them? And because he transferred and he is now at Syracuse, I'm going to say that it was them. And most people would agree with that. So the biggest thing about Ohio State this year, outside of some of the coaching changes they've made, they have a top five returning production profile in the country on both sides of the ball. They are arguably going to probably have the best defense if there's no injuries, everything shakes out. So they bring in a new offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly, the former head coach of UCLA, and obviously if you follow college football previously of Oregon, Philadelphia, you know, all that jazz, right? And I'm confident that Kelly is going to scheme up easy throws to suit Howard's strengths. But with that being said, they really don't need Howard to be an elite level CJ Stroud type talent. They need him to manage the game and limit the turnovers, and just carry this team to what is expected to be, you know, a championship game appearance, win the Big Ten, you know, just that's the expectations. I mean, to put it in perspective, you know, they're minus 650 just to make the playoffs. Like, that's insane. So the expectations are there. But I'm viewing it as he is expected to manage this talent and this team. And they do not expect superstar type production, nor will they get that. They're not going to get that. So let's move on to the next quarterback. Next transferring quarterback is going to be Dylan Gabriel out of Oregon. transferring to Oregon via Oklahoma. So to put it, you know, just pretty bluntly, Gabriel is elite at every single depth and under all conditions. And I'll just run through his profile real quick. His kept clean PFF grade 14th, kept clean QB rating 9th, under pressure PFF grade 9th, under pressure QB rating 21st. So he was just elite. You know, there's really no other way around that in 2023. Now, his depth profile pretty much says the same exact thing. Deep attempts, he was 80th. His PFF grade on deep attempts, 9th, and his QB rating, 21st. Medium attempts, 44th. Medium PFF grade, 30th. Medium QB rating, 12th. Again, elite. And then even the short area field. He's 113th in short area attempts, but he's 9th in PFF grade and 10th in QB rating. I mean, it just does not get better on those metrics. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, even though I know some fans might disagree with me. This is an upgrade over Bo Nix, and it's not even close. I mean, Bo Nix was 12th in Mickey Mouse throws last year. He was not pushing it down the field. They were scheming up, as they normally do at Oregon, these easy layup throws from Bo Nix. And, you know, Bo Nix did really well because it was his 12th year in college, essentially. So the thing is, hopefully Oregon will unleash Gabriel's ability to make these pro-style throws and push the ball down the field. And hopefully they will not put him in a box like they have Bo Nix and like they did Justin Herbert. Like, a lot of people felt that Herbert was not worthy of his draft slot when he came out, simply because he was not like allowed to make these throws that he was more than capable of making. If they allow Gabriel to do this, the sky's the limit at Oregon. We're talking Big Ten championship. We're talking national championship. The sky would be the limit because they are one of three teams returning top 30 production on offense and defense, and from a unit that was top 30 in offense and defense and S&P plus. So, I mean, the sky's the limit, but if they try to do this smoke and mirrors, dink and dunk style offense, I mean, it could be rough. It could be rough for them. They do play a a decently tough schedule. It's 31st overall. But their win total is 10.5 wins. They're projected to do really well in this new conference. And so we're going to see how that plays out. But it's all going to hinge on what the coaching staff allows Gabriel to do. Now, our last quarterback is going to be Drew Allar at Penn State. He's returning. And he has a solid profile. There are a couple of things that stand out. We'll go through them real quick. PFF grade, 20th. QB rating when kept clean, 49th. You know, but the thing that stands out to me is his deep attempts percentage rate is 158th. That's fifth to last. So he's not throwing the ball down the field with any frequency. And even when he did, his deep PFF grade was 84th and his QB rating was 38th. Now, from a medium attempts perspective, he was 59th and a medium PFF grade 27th and a medium QB rating 34th. So better, you know. And then his short attempts rate was the highest of all of them. It was 31st and his short PFF grade was 4th and his short QB rating 36th. So he excelled in that short area game, and he had a tremendous year from a counting stats perspective as a sophomore. I mean, his stat line of 2,631 passing yards and 25 touchdowns and only two interceptions, extremely underrated. Now, obviously, as you know, discussed just recently, his biggest room for improvement is in his deep passing. But it's not just that. Penn State needs to allow him to have growth. They need to open up the offense for him. And this is, they just kept him as a game manager, and that's evidenced in numerous occasions. He only had 23 passing attempts against Michigan last year. In the biggest game of the year, they only trusted him to throw the ball 23 times. So he will need to improve against, you know, his hardest opponents, and he will have some hard ones this year. They play on the road against USC and Wisconsin, and then they have Ohio State at home. Now, the positive side of this is Penn State brings in former Kansas offensive coordinator Andy Kotelnicki. Hopefully I didn't butcher that. And to put it in perspective, Kansas's quarterback, Jason Bean, last year ranked 4th in big dog attempts percentage at 53.3%. So hopefully they will be able to develop and scheme up those plays for Allar, because that is going to be the difference. Like, Penn State is always on the cusp, it seems like, forever. It's like James Franklin's been there what feels like 20 years now, and they're always on the cusp of making it. And I mean, time might be running out. And so hopefully they will open up the offense to allow him to grow into that. Now, that is all the quarterbacks I'm going to cover for the Big Ten. There are other notables. You know, Curtis Rourke is coming in from Ohio to Indiana with that team. You know, Will Rogers at Washington, Tyler Van Dyke at Wisconsin. I just don't see those guys are not, even though they could have good, you know, seasons, None of those teams that I just listed are competing for the Big Ten championship. It's not going to happen. You know, Indiana bringing in like the entire James Madison staff, possibly. You know, possibly they could have a good season, but let's not kid ourselves and act like, you know, they're going to take over, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, et cetera. You know, it's just not going to happen, you know. So that concludes the list of quarterbacks we're going to cover here today. We're going to continue with our series. We have several more episodes left to cover, the other conferences, including, you know, your group of five. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, as I don't really feel like there's much to cover there, even though, you know, it seems like every year I get my hopes up and this is the year that this quarterback's going to make the difference. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, and that's for another day. So thank you for tuning in. As always, there will be a correlated article to this episode on my website, themittnermethod.com. And that's it. I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.